life happens. Now, when you came and saw me, you had a 700. Ooh. Now you're a 580. It's just like, if you're in a perfect position, why not now? If you're not doing it now, you're wasting me and your time. Right. By saying you're going to come back. Because what's likely to happen when you come back is, and if you're a first-time buyer, what's likely is you are already on the line.
Right. You're already at your max potential.
Yeah, you're on the line of not being able to do this. And 6 months later, I've had people come back. And guess what? Don't qualify no more. Homes went up 30,000 or something like that.
Right. Welcome back to another episode of Selling Houston, the podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Broker Bae, Courtney Okonlemo of Collective Realty Co. And I'm joined by my lovely guest.
Ooh.
Ladies, he's single.
He's up on the lovely.
I'm going to get in trouble for saying that. But who are you? Tell people who you are.
Man, I am Hemi Neutron. Not Hemi.
You know what? I'm not going to do this today. Here we go.
Let me chill. It's early, right?
Here we go.
It's Juneteenth. Let me stun a little bit. No, but it's me, Michael Ramsey Wallace.
Okay. And what do you do? Tell the people who you are. Like, what do you do?
Oh, man.
Are you a part of this situation?
I'm a part of this lovely establishment here, the firm. It's what we like to call it, yeah. Collective Realty Co.
Don't forget the co.
Don't forget the co.
Ho.
Yes, ma'am.
So it was so important for me to bring you in here because Texas is one of the biggest meccas for new construction properties. In fact, it's been argued that we have more new construction homes than probably any other state, especially actively building and a lot more land left to go. And what I love about your story, Michael, is that you are from that builder world. So I saw a lot of potential in, you know, all of the value that you can bring to buyers that are looking to purchase new construction. So that's why you're here. I really wanted to pick your brain. So we're just going to jump right into it.
Let's jump.
So tell me a little bit about your story and how did you even end up in Texas? Because you're not from here, right? Where are you from?
No, not from here. Well, originally, I'm from the Midwest, you know, okay. One of your neighbors, Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, from the Windy Cindy.
The neighbors that ain't never got no milk. Let's be clear.
Or sugar. Don't come knocking on my door. I ain't got it.
We ain't got it.
But yeah, I'm originally from the good old Motown.
Okay, you know, cool.
Hey, put some respect on our name now. Okay. We Motown for a reason, you know. But
I
know y'all
watching
got Oprah
movies
over there in Chicago, but don't sleep on us. Hitsville, Ford, Chrysler. Yeah.
Wow.
We does
and you know,
that.
We just went to Michigan. We were at UWM Lending's conference. They do many of them for realtors. So that was a lot of fun. You didn't go, but the firm was there. We tried to get you in there at the last minute. Shout out to Michael Adibe, one of our preferred lender partners. But next time, hopefully you'll be able to go. So I did get to see a lot of what Michigan has to offer. That was my first time ever going. Okay. Nice place.
I'm glad you said y'all went to Michigan, though, and it ain't say Detroit, because, you know.
We was in D-Town. I was scared for my life, let's just be clear.
On the outskirts.
But, so that's where you're from.
Yeah.
But that's not where you started selling real estate.
No.
Okay,
no,
where'd you start selling?
So I traveled a little bit, but I started selling real estate when I was in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah,
how many years did you spend there?
So I spent 2 years there.
Wow, And you got license? Did you get licensed there too?
No,
because I know their reps don't have to be, right?
Cool thing, okay. You didn't have to, which is one of my reasons of going. You don't have to be here either.
To be a sales rep, right?
Sales rep, okay. For a builder, which is cool. But then what's funny is my decision, I was in North Carolina before I went to Atlanta.
So you moved around.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for previous work.
Single, no children.
Yeah, no kids, no babies. Just a little practice.
That's...
you're an eligible
bachelor, like, but you're planting your roots in Houston.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Licensed here in Houston. What year?
Licensed as of what year are we in? 23. Licensed as of 2022.
Okay. So just got licensed last year. But again, you came to us with a wealth of knowledge on the builder side. So we're going to dig into this career that you've had as a builder's rep.
Yeah.
What type of volume, I know I'm putting you on the spot, what type of volume, what type of transactions, let's just call it monthly, I guess, because you only did it there for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What were you doing transaction-wise on a monthly basis? I want to make a point to our audience as we compare actual real estate sales to builder level sales, because I don't think a lot of people understand the type of volume that these builders are doing on a monthly basis.
Yeah. So I'll take it to just from phone to appointment to deal. So we were heavy on volume.
Okay.
You know,
we're
heavy, heavy on that. So any week, and normally we invite it on the weekend. That was our thing. You know, we feel like pack the house, create urgency.
Wow.
Yeah, we were on pack the house. So you may, we'll double, triple up appointment times because we knew somebody wasn't going to show up. Intentionally. Yeah, we knew somebody wasn't going to show up. Somebody was going to reschedule. So we knew the game, which I'm sure come down later on some of the values that I learned there that helps me even today now.
Right.
But we were packed out. We wanted to pack the house. And you got to think it's probably about 3 to 4 reps in the office on the weekend. So all of us are doing this. So you're getting in. We're getting, you know, again, packed house with a room as big as our room here. We're packing this thing out.
Wow.
And we wanted that, though. We wanted people to see that. We wanted people to get excited. We wanted people to see somebody else
doing
get pre-approved.
Right.
And we're going to make a big deal out of it. We get a person approved. We pulling out the sold sign. We handing this to them. They ain't even made a decision yet.
Right.
But we're already assuming the sale.
Right.
So, we'll pack this place out. So, any given weekend, I mean, I could do 3 or more transactions.
Okay. In a weekend.
In a weekend.
And that doesn't include your during the week.
Correct.
Work or appointments.
Yeah.
Nice.
We're a little bit different where I came from. We're a little bit different than most builders. So we didn't typically do weekday appointments.
Okay.
We wanted you on a weekend. If you walked in on a weekday, we may even reschedule you to the weekend. Like we literally would, unless it was some type of rush, I would say, hey, well, you know, we're kind of busy today because I wanted to be on the phones.
Right.
So we want to talk a little bit and get you in.
So let me get this straight, because again, my mind's turning from a real estate sales perspective as an agent.
Mm-hmm.
Yours is as a builder. So you spent during the week doing the cold calling, the touches,
mm-hmm.
the following up, maybe mm-hmm. from someone the week before that didn't make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Am I hearing that correctly?
Yes.
And then the weekend was reserved for selling.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, we open houses is what we call them, right?
Oh, open houses? Those things y'all don't like to do.
Yeah, those things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Those open houses.
I see.
Uh-huh.
So I like that because everything that I'm reading too, of course, my business is transformed into referral based mostly.
Mm-hmm.
So I've kind of paid my dues, but I kid mm-hmm. you not, every single weekend, kids or not, husband or not, I was training my family and my household to know that weekends were for real estate. I had a full-time job too. So I had to juggle both. And during the week I was doing admin type stuff,
mm-hmm.
but during the weekends, that's when most people are shopping naturally.
People are off work.
They're off work. You got to have a job to buy these houses, right? So I need you to be at work during the week.
Yeah, for sure.
And then evenings and weekends, I'm going to dedicate to getting you, you know, into your homes.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, I have transitioned to kind of being able to set my own schedule. And I still do open houses occasionally each month. And I am still somebody that believes in doing those open houses because of what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's out on the weekends. And if you want to get in front of active buyers and sellers, you need to work on the weekends.
Yes.
Would you agree?
Agreed.
Okay.
For sure.
So with that, are we going to name drop the builder, by the way? I think we should.
Yeah,
they built here in Texas, right?
Yeah, they actually started here in Texas. They started in Houston.
Really? So you got to drop them. Who is it?
Yeah. So I started off with LGI Homes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Do they own other builders?
No.
You know, there's a few that kind of commingle. No?
No, they don't own any other. I know they're, when I was leaving, they were a top 10 builder. I know that. They were growing.
10.
Yeah, they were pretty big.
Okay.
I mean, they did their thing. And the cool thing about LGI and what really translated that helps now and why I can specialize in this is our focus, 99% of our clientele is going to be first-time buyers. Purposely, they promote it to renters.
Tell me more, because I'm even getting into that where I want to market more to the rental community. So how did you see them accomplishing that?
So lots of flyers. So a lot of them flyers are going to go out to apartment buildings.
Okay.
You know, so you'll get a lot of apartment buildings to get flyers.
What kind of verbiage was it including?
Tired of renting. That's what these flyers will say with a question
are
mark.
You tired of renting?
Are you tired? Just like that. Are you tired
of
renting?
Can you do it for the people?
Are you tired of renting?
Here's the other good one. Would you like to fire your landlord?
Yeah, would you please fire your landlord? Please.
I can't.
Get up out of that.
I can't. So they targeted apartment communities. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is a tried and true you know, strategy for sure, because typically that's the easiest gateway. When people don't know much, they tend to respect and value the expert more. Mm-hmm. So when you've never purchased a home, naturally you tend to get something like that in the mail. You're like, you know what? I'm going to do that. Yeah. I'm going to fire that landlord.
Yeah.
So I really like that that is something that basically is timeless. You can use that strategy forever. In terms of selling real estate.
Yeah, they put a lot of money into that. For
Okay, so tell me about what type of price point LGI focused on. If they had first-time homebuyers in first frame of mind for their marketing strategies, what kind of price point did you typically see?
So when I started, which is funny, when I started...
It was during COVID, wasn't it?
Actually, I started in 2018.
Okay.
I've been out of it, so... We'll get into that. I don't want to dive too. So I started in 2018 and stopped in 2020. That's when I moved.
Okay. That's when you moved here.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So you moved during COVID.
Yeah, I moved during COVID. Okay. Kind of toward with the back end of it. It was still going.
Okay. Right? Yeah, definitely was still going.
No, it was still going. But I didn't just like land and just stay in Houston. When I left them, I actually... stayed for a minute, wasn't working.
Okay.
Then traveled, went back home for a minute just to visit family.
Oh, living the good life.
Family. Yeah, okay. I had to went and stayed for a couple months in Detroit during the winter time. It was crazy, nice. Right? Must have really...
During the winter?
Yeah. Ooh.
What's wrong with you?
Crazy. Crazy. I'm crazy. A psycho, I tell you. A psycho.
So but when did you get up out of there?
So I stayed there till about December. So I officially came into Houston and was like, okay, I'm here probably around January.
Of
2021.
Oh, 2021. Okay.
And the rest was really history. But price point wise, we were around, started in 2018, we were around 180.
Can you repeat that?
180.
Oh.
And this is good for people to hear, for them buyers that listen to this.
So let's take a pivot because I want to talk about that. I think that, you know, a lot of us agents, we get caught up in this sales price thing and we want to look like we're only representing, you know, expensive homes. Mm-hmm. And the reality is this is not our fault. Let me say it again. This is not our fault. This is the natural science of real estate. And that as the years progress, real estate prices appreciate in value, especially in healthy real estate markets like Texas. Yeah. So I used to specialize in homes under 200,000. Guess what year I got my license here in Texas? 2017.
I was about to say
18. Okay.
So that makes sense.
You were selling houses like hotcakes for 180. Mm-hmm. So was I. Mm-hmm. Around that price, 200s. I actually specialize. I close more deals under 200 than any other type of deal. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to 2023, and it's not my fault, but the average price in Houston for a starter home, you're looking at 300. You want a decent home that is not too old, whether it's been remodeled or not is beyond me. I do know that, you know, there are people that look for that because they want a little more character or they don't really care about the age of a home. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, most first-time home buyers are going to feel more confident in a newer home, right?
Right.
And the average price that we're seeing has pushed up to the low 300s to get into, you know, your first home. Mm-hmm. So not that that's the norm for everyone. You know, we're again just focusing on what we're seeing in the masses. And that's almost $150,000 more than it was in 2018.
Yeah. Even 2 years later, even when I left in 2020, it had appreciated fast. I mean, it actually the price point was ranging from like, I think around like 170 to about our highest home being like 190.
Yeah.
Like 189. What? The highest? By the time I left, we were at around 215 to 250.
Yeah.
Just in that 2 year span.
So I'm constantly having this conversation during buyer consultations, and it is, when you can afford to buy, you need to buy. Number two is, you are late to the party if you own nothing. If you don't own any real estate, you're late to the party. You need to get in, get a drink, and start dancing. Because if you're not doing that, then you're going to get into a situation where you look up, and I'm talking to, you know, 50-year-old clients, late 40s that have never purchased a home. And quite frankly, their income and their circumstances haven't caught up to all of the appreciation that they have missed in the last, couple decades. Mm-hmm. So they find themselves never being able to purchase because they just never pulled the trigger thinking that prices were going to slide back or that circumstances were going to change to fit them. And the reality is, it just never happened.
Yeah. The reality is, everybody always got an excuse or a roadblock that they made up in their head. They made up this roadblock, rather, oh, I'm waiting till this, and I'm going to do this next year.
And then life happens again.
Life happens now. When you came and saw me, you had a 700. Ooh. Now you a 580.
What?
Life didn't happen. Like, I've literally seen people come back. No, what's funny, this is the best part. Okay. What you just mentioned.
Okay.
I've literally had people come back. And remember, I was telling you before we even started, I was like, I don't play that comeback game.
I think you gave me a story. But go ahead. I want to hear this.
I don't play that comeback game. Because I've literally, it's not just because I don't want you to not come back. It's just like, if you're in a perfect position, why not now? If you're not doing it now, you're wasting me and your time by saying you're going to come back, because what's likely to happen when you come back is, and if you're a first time buyer, what's likely is you are already on the line.
Right. You're already at your max potential.
Yeah. You're on the line of not being able to do this soon.
Damn.
Right. So what happened is, and I've seen it happen. I've seen people be in a position to buy, and at one of our bigger homes at that, not even our starter, one of our starter ones, one of our homes that most people want but can't get into. They usually need to start a home.
Yeah, right.
But, and we have 5 floor plans usually, and most people can probably qualify for the first 2, right?
This is interesting.
So what happened is, people, they'll have some excuse on why to come back, and they in a position to. And 6 months later, I've had people come back, and guess what? Don't qualify no more. Homes went up 30,000 or something like that.
Right.
You know, actually, it's usually like within 6 months to a year, they'll come back, and now homes are up 15,000, 20,000, because
it's so
we're
sad.
As a builder going up, we will say about, I believe about 5,000 a month.
Okay.
Was about on average, we're going up about 5,000.
And I'd like to speak to that, because that is absolutely true. I tell my clients a few things. Number one, with new construction, when you are building a home, you are going to pay more to build that home than you would for inventory. So typically what I also say is, hey, why don't you pay 2023 pricing for a 2024 completed home? Because then it's an opportunity for you to build equity until you actually close. You know, that's a good takeaway. But then also, when you're dealing with the inventory properties and the prices are just kind of continuing to increase with every sale. So every time a builder sells a property, it's an opportunity for them to increase the price on future properties. Mm-hmm. And that is always going to be the trajectory that they're looking for. So yes, what you said is absolutely correct. Yeah, for sure. So when they come back and they can no longer qualify, what do they typically do? Do they settle? I hate the word settle, because you're really not settling as a first-time home buyer when you buy what you can afford. But for this purpose, I'm going to say that, because they could have had better and now they're technically settling for less. So do you see them settle, or do you see them throw their hands up and just not do anything?
A lot of times, it was crazy. It's like, we're on a line. So most people, even on that line, you got to think, if that one went up, so did the starter.
The other ones. Ooh. So they're like, I ain't paying this for that.
Yeah, you might be in a position where, one, you may not can't get any of them no more, depending on how. I've seen people come back a year later, and now they don't qualify for any of them. Because you got to think, $5,000 a month, we looking at this house that went up $30,000,
right.
$40,000.
And you were just on the cusp of being able to qualify with your credit and your debt.
And your income hasn't changed. You're not making more money.
So we're going to stop at that too. So guys, oh my gosh. The average appreciation a year in Texas is anywhere between 10 and 20%, mm-hmm. depending on where the property is. Mm-hmm. Tell me when your employer increases your salary after 1 year by 10 to 20%. Please let me know when that happens. And that is the issue. I hear all the time, of course, yes, we're dealing with inflation. Yes, we are having economic issues in terms of people qualifying for these properties. But let's just face it. You guys could have been bought a property mm-hmm. and you won't because you'll make these excuses mm-hmm. as to why you shouldn't or whatever the case may be. And then you'll look up and your income is never really going to exponentially increase as fast as the appreciation of these mm-hmm. homes are. Mm-hmm. So it's so sad to see it, but it happens all the time. So you end up either having to get a partner, right? Or mm-hmm. if you're engaged, getting married, now you can join two incomes, which is great. Or have a family co-sign with you.
Which is big on the builder side.
So it's just really tough when I see this time and time again. And that's why I think it's so important for us to have these conversations mm-hmm. because people really don't know. They don't realize that this is really what's happening and that the later you wait, the more you pay.
Right.
There's no guarantee. There's no, you know, other way to describe it other than that.
Interest rates change. That's what we got.
Yeah.
Date the rate.
I don't really like that saying, I have to say. Date, what's it called? Date the rate, marry the house. Or date, yes, date the rate, marry the house. It's corny, but it's true. The philosophy behind it is true.
Yeah.
If you let the factors determine when you're going to buy a home when you own nothing, you're just not going to be happy at the end of the day.
Right.
That's what I've seen.
Right.
So with that said, you know, we dropped LGI Homes. We kind of talked about, you know, where you're from and where your, you know, expertise lies. Talk to us about what you see setting yourself apart from other realtors as it relates to selling new construction properties. Since you have all of this knowledge and experience with it, mm-hmm. Why should a buyer that wants to build a home or purchase new construction, what sets you apart from other agents?
Because I understand the lingo.
Okay.
It's like if I come, you from Chicago, right?
Chi-town.
If I come to the Windy City.
And you can't tell me nothing.
It's nothing I know more than you.
Right.
If I'm going to ask you, okay, where should we go? You're going to know exactly where to go. Mm-hmm. You're going to say, go here.
Right.
What part of town? What part of town to stay away from? You know, you're going to know. If I ask you, like, where not to go? You say, don't go your tail down that road. When the lights go off, do not take your butt down this part right here. You're going to know, right? So same thing with new builders. Like, I'm going to know, you know, if they BSing, if they being real, I'm going to be able to call them out on their things, on certain things.
I'm gonna be able to keep them honest.
Yeah, I'm gonna be able to keep them honest, but I'm also gonna be able to, you know, because I understand and negotiate a certain way.
Okay,
I know my limits in negotiating. I know what I can get or what I can't get.
Right.
You know, most realtors might think you can go in here and negotiate. It's probably, they're not changing that price.
Okay, so let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Because I used to think, and this is a transparent moment, I used to think that I was less equipped to represent new construction buyers mm-hmm. when I first started here mm-hmm. because I felt like, well, damn, I'm not getting anywhere with this builder. At most, I know that I'll be able to accomplish this, this, and that, mm-hmm. but I don't want to look like I'm not fighting for my client mm-hmm. to get these other things. So what I have learned to do is, number one, I've gotten better at it, obviously, but I've also learned that they got that bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, if you can't go around the corner and get this exact same house, you're going to do what I tell you to do.
You can't. They you know? Know that.
And they know that.
Yeah.
So their negotiation strategies and what they're willing to do and what that bottom line is not going to change for you. Unless, of course, maybe you bring in cash and can mm-hmm. close quickly and they're trying to get out of Dodge and start their next phase of building, right? But if that's not the case, please don't expect to get all of these incentives and all of this money off because they just built you a brand new house.
Yeah.
There really usually isn't a whole lot of wiggle room left, especially under 300,000, mm-hmm. under 400,000. So I think that's interesting that you say that because I used to feel like, oh my God, I only got them this, this, and that. When the reality is that's all that anybody was getting.
Right.
If that.
You know, no, I don't care who walked in
there. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, Grant Cardone can walk in there.
Right.
This is the price of this home. on.
Right. So what do you think, like, if you were to take a buyer in tomorrow, like, what are your standard go-to requests that you know you'll get away with getting for your client? This is like really insider knowledge right here.
Normally, you know, one, I'm working with a builder. I'm looking for incentives out the gate. Like, if you're
talk to the people about like new agents, they may not know what that is. Yeah, so what's so an incentive?
Incentives would be like money towards closing costs or money towards down payment. I also know if I'm working with a builder, how, you know, how I can kind of play with. I don't play with kind of funny word. Let's say how usually they're using in-house, especially you. That's why, especially we're using in-house lenders or in-house lenders.
Right.
It's a plus a lot of times to use that because what I've learned just working with them myself is like we bend over backwards on that fine. When I say we're fighting, like I'm on the phone with I'm in the office with my manager. We're going at it with the lender
to protect the buyer, right?
As far as getting this deal done,
right?
Getting this deal done, we're fighting
with the lender so that they can maybe cut costs or make the numbers work so that we can get this deal to the closing table.
Yeah,
love it.
Because I learned, and that's another thing that I believe helped me from the builder side is understanding financing a little bit more.
Right.
Because we were hands on. Mm-hmm. You know, we knew little small things. DTI, they taught us DTI, they taught us, you know, back end, front end, all that. So we're already fighting for these things, man. So I know when I got in there, what I would notice is lenders are human too.
Right.
And lenders make mistakes.
Yeah.
Right, and whether they put a number in the computer wrong, whether back and they're trying to deny a deal. We were like, why the hell?
You gonna tell us about when that happened?
Why the hell is you denying this deal? Like, this thing is golden. Mm. What the F's going on? I mean, we're going at it in these rooms. You know, what's going on? I've seen deals that, you know, should get approved, almost not get approved until we fight for it. Now it's approved.
Interesting.
You know what I'm saying? So, That's a big thing as well. Like going into this, I understand the finance a little bit. So if you're working with me and I'm already asking you these questions. I'm already understanding the numbers. Like early. I'm already taking you through things to understand what that financing looks like on your end.
Yes.
Right. So by the time we get to the builder, I kind of know your situation a little bit unless you've lied. Now, once they pull and figure out the story, we know a little bit more. But for the most part, I know 90% of the situation before going in, before even going to a lender.
Okay. So, so for me, I feel like with knowing all of that going into it, having these buyer consultations up front, asking the right questions, we talk about that all the time, basically knowing more about your client allows you to help them more when they go and, you know, purchase a new construction home when it's time to negotiate with the builder's lender. The other thing I wanted to point out is with these builder's lenders, the reason why they are a preferred lender is because they are doing a lot of volume for that builder. So they can afford to cut their pay to get a lot more of these deals done because of the volume. And of course, referrals after this person buys the house.
Right.
So I think it's really important for us as real estate agents to make sure that we are putting our builder's lender, you know, to the fire, making sure that they're giving the best pricing, the best rate, make this worth my client's while. So it's equally important to be negotiating with the builder and the builder's lender. So I like that.
For sure.
Okay. So that was quite interesting, Michael. I'm definitely gonna have to bring you back. I feel like we only got the tip of the iceberg on, you know, behind the scenes, the builder behind the scenes. Yeah. We're going to have to get back into that. But for now, we're going to play a game. The game is called Be For Real.
What?
Let me repeat that. Be For Real. And I need you to be for real about the questions that I ask you. I have three questions. You have three questions for me. Right. If I feel as though you are not answering the question organically or authentically, I will make you take that beautiful shot.
Let's take a shot of. Let me tell y'all something right now. Whatever type of cognac Courtney got in this damn glass,
I think it's Douce. You know, black owned.
Boy, this thing ain't even close to my nose, but I'm already tipsy. Let me tell y'all.
We keep it black owned around here, so this is Douce.
Oh, that's that.
Cheers, because we will be taking this at some point.
Yeah,
but that is how we play this game. So, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so I'm gonna ask you the first question because I gotta get you warmed up.
Get me right.
Okay. These have been hand-selected for you particularly. I won't say by who. So let me just see what I'm doing. Okay. Is there anything you wish you didn't know? Michael know everything, so I'm very excited to see his answer.
Is there anything I wish I didn't know? Let me think. Hold on.
Yeah, think about that. Because if you lie, you know what time it is.
Give me a minute. This is actually good. This makes me really think. Dude, I think I didn't know.
So basically,
I would say.
What would you say?
I would say, other people's bad intentions.
So you know that you feel like you know them, and you wish you didn't know that.
I would say from experience, no.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Like going through different things, I would get from a relationship standpoint, whether that's romantic or whether that's friendship wise, you know, you go through things, but then you also hear about other people things and that affects how you move down the road.
I like that.
So social media is big on you. You turn on social media, the first thing you're going to see is a bunch of relationship podcasts
right.
and things like that. And a lot of it is BS and it look bad sometimes, but a lot of it we've all at some point been through.
Yeah.
So it's like, dang, I'm familiar with that. So I wish, because it stunts the way you move with your
naturally.
Relationships.
And yeah. naturally. Yeah. I actually like that answer because we as a society, we rely on social media. Mm-hmm. We rely on Google reviews, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. We rely on other people's opinions on things. Mm-hmm. And then we allow that to determine how we're going to, you know, interact
yep.
and accept things.
Yep.
So, damn, that's really deep.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Came from a man in his All right.
I believe you.
That is.
You know, I believe
I know
you.
A little something, something. I know a little shum. Take it from me.
Oh, my God. What am I doing here? I can't.
Yeah.
Your turn.
It's me. Should
Let's
I mix
see.
Them up?
I'm like really nervous. I'm very nervous. Now. Tristan, what you did?
Tristan did something good. Yes, sir. It's my boy. About to get you right. Big talk.
Let me close my eyes.
Let's see, folks.
That them question, you. I don't believe y'all. I don't. Whatever. Ask the question. I'm
about to take a shot, y'all. I already know.
I tell the truth on my podcast. Okay. What okay. does it say?
This exchange is bad. I just like building up your anxiety a little bit. What do you do when nobody is watching?
Oh my God!
Hey.
Tristan, you bogus.
Let's go, T. Yeah. What do you okay. do when nobody's
you know,
watching?
Guys.
Be for real now. Be f-ing for real.
What do I do when nobody's watching? Okay, I'm sorry. The question was, what do I do when nobody is watching?
Nobody. By yourself.
Can we rephrase it to, what do I think about that I don't say out loud?
No, so what do you do? I've been thinking and doing.
I tried to change the whole
She tried to okie doke me too.
Okay, what do I do when nobody is around? This is not appropriate. Like, I just am not.
It's not appropriate because it's Courtney.
I really just don't really know.
First of all,
you did say I was taking a shot. Okay, take it. I don't think that's appropriate.
Hey, y'all see what. Hey, just so y'all know, y'all see what I deal with.
This is the first time I've taken a shot willingly.
Look, y'all see what
Tristan,
we deal with over here.
I can't.
I just want y'all to know I'm in an office full of women, right? So, this is hilarious to me that she had to take a shot because she.
You know what? I'm going to come back and answer this question at the end of the show. Maybe.
Now that you got a shot.
Oh my God.
You got a shot now, so this answer should be very interesting.
Oh my God. I can't believe I had to do that.
I love that
my
she started
first
with.
Yes, to make me damn.
I love how she started with, like, this is so inappropriate. How?
Okay. So listen, here's my thing. Okay, here's my thing.
I'm tripping now. I'm like, what?
What are people really gonna say that's not faking it? Now, of course, you could say pray, right? Okay, but come on, that's not, that's fake.
Yeah, pick their nose. I mean, some people pass gas. Ain't nobody watch. Oh,
I do that when people watch. I'll be like, listen, y'all, I farted. I'm sorry.
I farted. Sorry.
We moving on. But if you want me to be real, somebody like Courtney Okonlomo, then you're going to get the real. And
Okonlomo.
I wouldn't have to say that on camera.
It.
So I'm sorry, guys. All right. My turn. Oh, payback is a... Okay. Okay. Payback. This is the big payback right here.
You been listening to Dirk.
What do you think about when you wake up, drops mic, and I swear for God, you taking that if it ain't right, and I'm letting you know now.
Like how? Let me get into a little bit more detail. Let me get a little bit more detail. Cause I ain't gonna take a shot, but I need more detail. Let me ask, is this...
Ain't no detail.
Instantly when I wake up, or have I laid there for a while? I'm gonna be honest, y'all. I am the most dumbfounded person when I first wake up.
Is it because of what happens the night before?
I don't even know what's going on. Like, I'm... No, not even that. Like, I wake up very, like, staring at the ceiling type. Like, that's me. Like, I don't want to get up. First of all, I'm not a morning person.
Okay. Really? I would have never guessed that because you're so, like, regimented. I feel like you're responsible, regimented. Most people that are like that are morning people.
I'm not a morning person. And that's probably because I'm a night owl.
Okay.
At the same time. Like, I do a lot at night. I do a lot of thinking at night. But I'm growing tonight. Like, what I think about now compared to what I thought about prior to my 20s when I wake up.
Okay, so what about 5 minutes after you wake up?
I'm instantly thinking about how I can make some money. Yeah.
Damn. You know,
I'm gonna be honest, like, because I'm nowhere close to where I wanna be. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I'm in my mid-30s.
Yeah.
And a lot of weight comes with that in society, right?
Yeah, it's true.
Just a lot of impressions on what I should be in my mid-30s right. and what that should look like, what my finances should look like,
right.
what my living situation should look like, what my relationship should look like. You know, I'm a mid-30 guy
like
with no
that,
kids,
Michael.
No wife. So I wake up like, man, what do I need to do next? Because my next goal in life is securing that, oddly. As fun of
all
a life
of those
I've
things?
Had, it's, yeah, wife, kids, like, foundation. Like, I am at that stage in my life where now it's like, the bachelor stuff is cool. But, you know, after a while, you want to come home. I got a lot of friends that's in relationships, that's married and stuff. You want
to
come home
to something.
You have a bad day. You want to come home, be able to talk to somebody and, you know, and the person that
joke
you're...
Joke with somebody.
Yeah, joke with somebody. And you want to talk to the person that you're probably romantic with.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's a different type of talking.
Ladies.
Yeah, that's a different type of talking. Ladies. That's a different type of talking.
He said ladies. So I want to speak to that a little bit because I think that, first of all, I'm a firm believer that men do the choosing. And I feel like you are an eligible bachelor, like you just said, and that you should make a concerted effort, just like you do in your business, to do that in your romantic life, to try to, you know, get something like that to land. And I will also say that I've been reading a lot of different things because we find ways to cope as entrepreneurs. Like, we don't really have a whole lot of help as entrepreneurs. We're expected to figure it out. We're expected that since we've chosen this lifestyle and this job, that we are just going to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I have heard that we are the ones that wake up in the morning and go to bed at night trying to figure out how we're going to better the circumstances of everyone around us, including
Facts.
Us.
Facts. And that's funny.
So
that's what it is.
That
too.
Is the truth. So I believe you, and I'm not going to make you take that shot.
Ugh.
Look at God.
Look at God. Look at God. Ladies.
Okay, listen. I am pretty certain, because you know we do this on video and on audio.
Yeah.
So please expect some DMs after this episode, because you just...
Y'all see this smile? Y'all see
this? Oh, Jesus.
It's like, nah.
I'm getting in trouble.
I am building right now, y'all.
Shout out to Tion. All right. So... My question?
Wow,
hey,
my
Tiana,
question
you.
For sure.
Open
that
your
is
eyes, baby girl. Open
right?
your eyes.
It gets real. It gets real. Please make them open right. their eyes for sure.
See? See?
Real. Let them know.
What's my question? Because you know we both get our ass whooped after this, right? You know that, right? Okay. As long as we both know. Cheers to that.
Hey, The walk-in was going to be funny. Knowing what just happened, that walk-in going to be hilarious. But
we ain't going to tell her.
Hey, we should do this more. Me and Courtney have too much fun. This should be a more of a regular thing, just so y'all know. But the next question, what can you do today that you couldn't do a year ago? Oh, this should be easy for you.
Oh, wow.
I think this should be easy for you.
A year ago, though? I don't know. I wish it would say a few years ago. Because a year ago, I feel like I'm about in the same position in terms of my freedom and the things that I can do and things like that. But if I had to choose something that was fresh from a year ago, pay numerous crazy amounts of salary to my family. Like, this is the definition of keeping it in the family. And I have heard so many, like, counterproductive arguments about how you shouldn't work with family. You can't work with family. Mm-hmm. And I am just so blessed to really not have to deal with those issues. I work with family. I love my family. Me and my family fight. We figure it out. But tell me what job that you work at that you love everybody around you. Right. So it's not like we are in a situation where this is different from any other corporate environment. Mm-hmm. There are going to be days where we love each other and not like each other and like each other and not love each other, whatever the case may be. But we're still getting to this bag together. For me, I wasn't able to do that a year ago. And I am today. And it makes me very proud to pay them before I even pay myself.
That makes you very proud. That's
organic right there.
That is organic. I feel that. Go ahead. Hit me with the
Because my people going straight with me.
I love it.
Period. Okay, so. What don't you spend enough time doing? And be honest, because we all listening.
Man, now?
Yes.
What don't I spend enough time doing now in life? Being for real?
Yes. The only way.
Be for real, right?
All the
for real, right? Yeah. Okay.
Let me repeat it. What don't you spend enough time doing?
I'm be fucking for real right here. Being older and chasing what I'm chasing and things like that. Like,
somebody nervous. What don't you spend enough time doing?
I'm gonna say
personal and professional, whatever one comes to mind first.
I'm gonna shoot on that one. God. I'm gonna take my shot on that one.
Oh, so that's interesting. For a man to take their shot on that, that means that you definitely don't want us to see the inner you.
No, that's a fact. You might have to invite me back.
That's your way of getting an invite.
You might have to invite me back for that
one. Take that damn shot.
I want to hear what
the
people, not just the ladies, but the people have to say about this one. They want me back. If y'all want to hear the answer to that, if y'all want to hear the answer to that, vote for me.
Vote.
In the comments of this one, when this drops, say I want Mike back. And, you know, next time we'll save that question and I'll answer that question on being for real.
I can't deal with you. Take that shot. You just, that's all he wanted was that shot, guys.
I ain't been drinking, y'all. I've been drinking wine.
You know what that means. See, you telling yourself now. Yeah. We just said you were single. Men at home drinking wine, they usually drinking it with somebody.
I ain't, though. That's the thing. I'm just drinking with wine at home, really, when I'll be out.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, so you one of those.
Yeah. It's just like when we out, everybody else drinking. I'm not trying to drink liquor. So
y'all be thinking wine is better. What's one shot? What's one shot, Tristan?
That dude say.
Nothing.
That dude say. That dude say. Y'all know.
They get your chaser of water if you need it.
I don't need that.
Okay, so you have one more question.
One more big question.
What's it
going to
be? Let me pace myself because I ain't got no more do say.
Since you've been trying to get me married and stuff, let's talk about... I can't wait. Go that day, I go double day.
What is the question?
I love stalling her, T. Like,
oh,
because
my God.
She gets to getting hot and nervous and she thinks I'm about to come that's heavy.
And it's not. Know? Okay.
It might be heavy.
I feel you.
All right, what was the most impactful event in your life?
Oh, ever?
Yeah, yeah, say life.
Impactful event in my life.
Most impactful.
The most impactful. I just hate being cliche, though. I mean, I could easily say when I opened the firm. I could easily say when I got married. I could easily say, you know what? I know what I'm going to say. I always say this, by the way. When I have this epiphany, I'll be like, you know what?
You know what? And she did look
but
like
I did
that.
Just have an epiphany. It wasn't when I got married. It's when I realized that I really am going to stay married.
Oh.
Because a lot of times early in our marriage, you'd be surprised how many times in your mind you're going to get divorced. You don't need him. You good. You could do this without him. I ain't staying. You know, we as men and women, mm-hmm. you may not say it out loud, mm-hmm. but you think it. If you've been married like that first year, it is brutal. The first 12 months, probably 12 to 24 months, is ridiculous. And if you make it through that, and to be honest with you, probably later than 2 years is when I realized that, you know, of course I stayed married and we figured out whatever, you know, trials and triumphs we've had. But at the end of the day, I realized that he was my person for sure. You know, you realize it when you first get married, but when you realize it for sure, nothing can come between that. So I think that that was the most impactful part of my life because, you know, we have children together, we've started businesses together. And I think that as women, it's okay for us to talk about things like this, which is, you know, just kind of letting people know that you're human. And, you know, of course, things may happen, but I feel like you really need to try to at least hear from your other person. Have that relationship where you can talk about things like this openly. But most importantly, when you can work it out, work it out. The grass is rarely ever greener. So my husband has impacted my life tremendously. So because I realized that he was my person, my life has been, you know, forever changed.
Shout out to Big Daddy O.
Yeah, that's my baby.
Big Daddy
I love
O.
You, baby.
Yes, sir. I don't know if they call him
that. See, this what happened after the shot.
I don't know if they call him. She was kissing the mic. The okay, Big Daddy O. Got over here kissing the mic and shit.
Not kissing the mic. But no, all jokes aside, you know, that usually is the cornerstone of any person's success. I preach this all the time. When you have a significant other or a mate that supports and motivates and does all of these things, it impacts every sector of your life. If I get into it with my husband right now, I probably won't have a great day. You know, I'm going to make it work. I'm going to, you know, go through life and figure it out. But it really does impact you in your everyday life. So when you can get that solid and make that, you know, be what you are really both working towards, it changes everything. So.
I love that.
Firm believer.
I think that work both ways.
Yeah.
If I get into it with my shorty, I'll be kind of irritated. I ain't going to hold you. I get into it with my little shorty. She get to irritate me or do something I don't like. Like,
I know.
I'm going to be a little irritated.
And that's life. You know, yeah. That's life.
We're going to move. We're going to be a little irritated. You know?
We're going to move. So, yeah. So, I'm so happy that you joined us. I definitely will be inviting you back, ooh, whether they like you or not, Michael. You're right, good here. We're going to bring you back.
I like to feel love. Y'all still go in there and vote in them comments. I want to see it.
Oh, my God. So we are looking to change the definition of real estate agent here in Texas. I like to refer to us as real estate advisors. Yeah. Everything you heard from Michael today and from myself, we really are trying to change lives and empower and educate real estate agents, buyers, sellers, tenants, landlords, so that you guys can also make really good, sound decisions regarding real estate. So hopefully you took something from today's episode. And until next time,
holler at your boy.
Oh my God. Do not holler at him. Ladies, do not.
Jimmy Neutron. Him Duncan. Him Jones.
Later.